Good morning, church family. It is so good to be here and to see each of you. And I know in spite of the weather we've had overnight, we are grateful that we have a place that we can come to and worship the Lord. And so I trust that you all had a wonderful Christmas and that we are here in God's house. Some of us still have family members with us. We know a lot of our members are visiting others. And we have to remember them and pray that they'll return safely. For those that are online, we also, again, just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for joining with us this morning as we worship our Father and our God. My topic for today is, what really satisfies? What really satisfies? It's a tough one, but you know, all the songs that we sang earlier tonight focused on the answer. And I was coming into church this morning, I heard a song on the radio, and it said, you can have the world, but give me Jesus. And Jesus is truly the reason for the season. You know, there are two words, the words contentment or satisfaction, which intrigues me. And so whenever I need to understand what these word, what a word means, we consult the dictionary. And so the Merriam-Dictionary defines satisfaction as the fulfillment of a need or want, the quality or state of being satisfied, it says. A similar word that the Bible uses is the word contentment. And there's the Greek word, so I have to show you that I did do my homework, right? The Greek word is this word autarkia, and it means having all of one's needs sufficiency. Having all of one's needs sufficiency. That's what contentment is all about. And so there's a couple of verses that we know of. 1 Timothy 6 through 11 reads, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then I love how the next verse goes on. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. There are two important characters in the Christmas story, and to me, they kind of remind me of a bookend at the end of the Christmas story. And they're two elderly people, actually. We don't hear much about them, but being that this is the last Sunday of the year, I thought it was so fitting that we remember and learn some lessons, valuable lessons, from two very important characters in the Bible. And their names are Simeon and Anna. Elderly people. We talk about elderly people who are still making impacts in our lives. The thing is, as Christians, no matter what age we are, we can make a difference if we let God use us. If we let God use us, if we're willing to submit to him, to surrender our lives to him, his control of our lives, then he can do some awesome things. And he wants to, by the way. And not only that, he equips us to do the work. And one of the greatest gifts you'll see in the story, in the text today, the work of the Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, how he works in our lives to give us what we need, all that we need, in order to serve our God and Father. And so, Simeon, by the way, his name means one who hears and obeys. Interesting, isn't it? One who hears and obeys. What about Anna? Anna means favor or grace. Favor or grace. And as Christians, we know that it is God's favor, God's grace, that saved us and is still able to save anyone who will come to him and trust in him. So it's interesting that these two names, Simeon and Anna, can give us some clue into their lives, who these people are. And so these two people offer us a good picture of what it means to be truly satisfied or contented in the way that God meant for us to be. God sent Jesus, the Messiah, at Christmas. He is truly our greatest need. And he alone is the only one who can bring true satisfaction or contentment. I'm going to ask you to do something, which is stand for a minute and hear these words from Luke chapter 2, 21 through 38 this morning. If you can, out of reverence for God's word, let us hear the text for today. Luke chapter 2, 21 through 38. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, take your word as we have heard this morning and prepare us, Lord, and help our hearing to be on high alert, Lord, to listen carefully to what your Spirit has for us today. And we give you thanks again for our precious Lord and Savior, the baby Jesus that we celebrated here at Christmas, Lord. Thank you, God, for sending him for us. It is in his name we pray. Amen. From the text, we can learn the following facts about these two characters, Simeon and Anna. One source describes Simeon, for example, as the man who died satisfied. I love that because, again, it validates what I started saying earlier, that it doesn't matter what age we are, God can still use us. And you've heard me many times here at church say that I do believe that God has great things planned for us. Even as we get older, he may do things that are greater than when we were younger. And I've seen it and I've heard it many, many times. There are Simeons that I know of in life, and you may know them too. But yes, the man who died satisfied. I think all of us want to be able to live satisfied. But how about how we die? Do we die satisfied? And Simeon gives us an example this morning. What do we know about him? Well, I love when the scriptures give the answers, which is always a good place to go, right? Let scripture be the source of truth that we need when we are asked to give an answer of the hope that is within us. And so we learn in verse 25 that he was righteous, acting in accord with divine or moral law, right? Free from guilt or sin. He wasn't righteous because of his own doing. In fact, all of us, the Bible tells us that none of us are righteous. We are all sinful. We're all like filthy rags before God. But thank God for Jesus, we have been made righteous because of our faith in him and believing that he is whom he claimed to be, and that is the Son of God, the precious and everlasting King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And so he was righteous and he was devout. He was committed or faithful to what he believed. You can always count on Simeon to be there. If he said he was going to do something, he would do it. He was committed. He was loyal. We also learn in verse 25 that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, every good Jew knew their identity as being the chosen people of God, and that one day Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, would come on the scene to liberate them and set them free. And in fact, even Jesus' disciples, for a good amount of time while Jesus walked with them and taught them, they had this in mind, that Jesus was to be the king that would rid them of their enemy, the Romans, their oppressors. But Jesus said, "This is not my kingdom. My kingdom is different from what we are familiar with here in this life, in this world." We also learn that the Holy Spirit was on him, verse 26. In the Old Testament, before the day of Pentecost, when the church was born, birth, right? The Holy Spirit would come upon men and women. But on the day of Pentecost in Acts, we see where the Holy Spirit comes and indwells every believer. And in fact, we know that we're Christians because of the Spirit of God in us. Without the Spirit of God in us, we're not his children. And so the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was on him and had, and listen to this amazing statement about Simeon. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before seeing the Lord's Messiah. Isn't that amazing? That he would not die until he had seen in the flesh the promised Messiah. And this Messiah was promised thousands of years ago, because starting from Genesis 3:15, where it says that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, it was talking about Messiah from Genesis 3:15 all the way through every chapter, every book in the Bible, ending with Revelation. We see more and more the confirmation that Jesus is truly the Messiah that all the prophets talked about. And so here we are, even Isaiah, who lived 700 years before the birth of Christ, saw and spoke of this man, that he would come one day of the seed of David, of his kingdom there would be no end. And so all these prophecies, as a good Jew, Simeon knew that. He knew their history. He knew the scriptures. And he, part of his testimony is that God, the Holy Spirit, had told him, you will never die before seeing the Messiah. And so we are privileged today because of the scriptures, the Bible we have today, that we have this record. We learn of this man, and we learn he's telling us what happened to him, what he learned as a believer. So we also learn that when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to God in accordance with the requirements of Jewish laws, this was probably around day 40, because the baby would be circumcised on the eighth day. I mean, John the Baptist was also circumcised on the eighth day. And then Jesus and others, Paul, the great apostle Paul, when he shared his testimony, said that he too was circumcised on the eighth day. But 40 days later, they had this requirement that they had to fulfill, and they would come to the temple. And so this was the occasion when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple, that this wonderful experience that we're reading about in Luke chapter 2 is telling us what happened. Simeon was, according to the scriptures, moved by the Spirit to find the baby Jesus. He finds him and he is overjoyed. Can you imagine that? He's probably wondering, man, is this the promise that was given to me and to all Jews about Messiah? And so he takes the baby in his arms and he praises God. It seems natural that when we see and hear good news, one of our first responses usually is praising, right? Joy. And he was. He praises God with the prophetic words that are recorded for us again. Look how blessed we are. We have in verses 29 through 31 as Simeon's testimony of genuine satisfaction with what God had promised him personally, along with its implications for everyone, both Jews and Gentiles. That's all of us. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is for every one of us. For all have sinned, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, right? That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The promise was there. And so Simeon, when he had this baby in his arms, spoke these words, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Imagine. These are the words from Simeon, because he realized that the promise that was given to him, that he would never die until he saw the Messiah, was present, was fulfilled right there and then. The Bible also tells us that Joram and Mary, they were amazed at these words about their son Jesus. And so Simeon blesses the parents and gives a final prophetic message to Mary concerning the future work and ministry of Jesus, the Messiah, and its shocking effect on her in her role as the mother of this very special baby. During Christmas, the season of Advent, we had a chance to revisit, look back at the history of the birth of the baby Jesus. And we started with Mary, actually John the Baptist, right, who would prepare the way for Jesus. But we see in Matthew and Luke the accounts of how important it was for us to have the record that Jesus came into this world for us. And so when Simeon in his message says that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. He was speaking directly to Mary when he said this. And this prophecy actually alluded to the fact that Jesus' life and ministry would result in salvation of all who place their trust in him as the only way, the truth, and the life, as we were taught by Jesus in John 14:6, as well as the fact that many would also reject him and be separated from God forever. We have a choice. We can choose life or death. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we have a choice. And yet, even with the possibility that people would be rejecting him, Mary, as the earthly mother of Jesus, would experience some of the deepest hurts any mother can feel. To see her son face the pain of rejection, the agony of the cross at his crucifixion. And this was part of the cross that she had to bear when she accepted the message that God had chosen her to be the mother of Jesus. She lovingly said yes to allowing God to do what he had promised when the angel Gabriel told her how Jesus would come into the world. And so in the same passage of our text, we learn about the other great person here, the prophetess Anna. Again, her name, remember, grace, favor. What do we know about her? Not much, to be honest, except what the text gives us. We learn that her lineage, she's the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher, from the original 12 tribes of Israel. That's what we do know, a little bit about her. She was very old, we were told, and had been married for 7 years before becoming a widow up to the age of 84 years. She never left the temple, we are told, but lived there all these years. And that speaks of her devotion to God, her love for God, her devotion to him. We also learn from the scriptures that she worshiped God night and day in fasting, prayer, and giving thanks to God. Wow. It's interesting that those characteristics, those attributes right there of her also describe the church in Acts when the church was born. Those 3,000 souls were saved the first day when Peter preached the gospel. And so these, you know, the qualities of being a church that believes in fasting and prayer and giving thanks to God, that's worship. We also learned that she witnessed to everyone who was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Isn't that awesome? Interesting that this lady also was prompted by the Holy Spirit, go see that baby. Go look and see that baby that Simeon is holding. And so as we complete this year and get ready for the new one, What are some lessons that we can learn and apply from Simeon and Anna about true satisfaction? I believe there are at least three that I'm identifying for us today. Three. Number one is, be satisfied in the fact that Jesus' first coming at Christmas over 2,000 years ago proves that the Bible is reliable and trustworthy. The Bible is reliable and trustworthy. All of God's promises will come true. The songs we sang this morning reminds us that God is faithful. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. And so he alone is the true source of genuine satisfaction. This baby Jesus, the Messiah, he alone meets the requirements. Sinless, born as a baby, and never sinned. And he humbly lived among us human beings. Look at his birth. Everything about his birth was prophetic. Where in the world do you hear of a king being born in a manger? Who were the first people that came and visited? The shepherds, the lowest people in the society on the totem pole, they came after the angel announced to them of this birth, right? And so we also hear the story of the Magi, the three. Well, it's more. We believe it's more than three, but at least three of them. They came and brought gifts to baby Jesus. And so the birth of Jesus was one of the greatest events in human history. We celebrate this fact with all believers around the world. And as a church, we must continue to make Bible reading and study a priority. We must. The name of our church is 3-Point Bible, right? We believe that the Bible is God's word. It has everything we need for our salvation and how we live the Christian life. And so Simeon and Anna believed explicitly in all the promises given by the prophets in the Old Testament, and they rejoiced greatly in the fact that they were able to see and hold the baby Jesus. We here at this church believe that the Bible is the word of God. And according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The second lesson that I observed from this passage is that we can be satisfied in the fact that God is calling us to grow more faithfully in carrying out the great commandment given in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, and the great commission given in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. How do I know that? Well, Simeon and Anna are examples of obeying the great commandment and the great commission. What's the great commandment? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. What is the Great Commission? Go into all the world, baptizing them, teaching them everything that Jesus has taught us. We must share it with others. We just don't sit here and hope the world comes to us. We are told to go and do it, share it. And so Simeon and Anna, are examples to us of this, in loving God, obeying God, and in sharing the good news with others. Whenever they had the opportunity, they would share what God has done for them. And so we are honored today to learn this lesson, and we find the greatest satisfaction as Christians when we lovingly and faithfully carry out these two commandments with the help of the Holy Spirit. I said earlier that the Holy Spirit is given to every believer from the moment you trust Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. God gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a deposit, according to Ephesians chapter 1, tells us that. And we will know one another as Christians. My spirit will bear witness with your spirit that we're children of God. It's a wonderful thing. We're not strangers. We may be strangers in that we may never have met before, but there's something about a Christian that you will know because of the Spirit of God in us. And I'm grateful for that. And so the third lesson that I see that we can learn from the text today is that, like Simeon and Anna, be satisfied in your decision to take a more active role in the life of this local church for the new year. Think about this. We're on the cusp of brand new year, 2025, this week coming up. And we can be satisfied in the decision we make to be more active in the life of this church. I mean, this can be accomplished by having a deeper walk with God through personal Bible study, personal devotions. For some of us, we use the app going through, reading through the Bible in a year. I love it. I'll keep doing it again, over and over again, because the more we can get into God's Word, whether it's reading it from the good old hard copy Bible or you're listening to it on your app. When I'm in the car sometimes going to work or coming from work, that's when I put it in, I turn it on and listen to it. And you know, the Bible still says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it's invest in your life by getting the Word more into our hearts and lives and our minds. And so we also must avail ourselves to the ministries of prayer, fasting, Bible study, thanksgiving, that's worship, and evangelism. And these are offered, these opportunities are offered here at this church. We have heard the calls from our pastors and our leaders over the last few weeks to sign up for the various ministry opportunities that are available. We are grateful to have Jason. Jason, again, brother, thank you for responding to the call to come and be a part of us and serve in ministry here. And we're grateful to that. We're grateful for all of our leaders, our elders, for Paul and Sandra, and for the work that God has used them and is using them. But the work is not finished yet. There's still work to be done. And so they've been asking us, they've put the sheet, sign-up sheets out in the foyer for us to see where we would be willing to volunteer. Sign up for a ministry that you want to participate in. I can tell you that no matter which one you sign up for, you will grow. You will benefit from it. And so, as I said, we can be satisfied with a decision that's going to honor God by doing that, by making a commitment that I'm going to serve our Lord more faithfully in 2025 here at this church. In my love for him, in my love for his people, and in carrying out the Great Commission, telling others about Jesus. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, as we heard from you today, Lord, through your servants, Simeon and Anna, Lord, we are comforted, God, by the fact that we have this record, Lord. It's called the Bible. You've given us the Bible, Lord, to teach us what was written about Messiah. Hundreds and hundreds of years. And yet, Father God, we live to see another Christmas, Father, when we reflect on the meaning of his birth, his coming to earth. Father, as Christians today here in 2024, getting ready for the new year, Lord, we know that there is another great event that we're anticipating, that we're expecting every Christian, Lord. And we are excited, Lord. And that expectation, that what we're really looking forward to next is your second coming. The Bible, your word, tells us over and over again that you are coming back. Jesus, you said, I am going to prepare a place for you that there you may also be with me. Every Christian has this living hope within us, Father. And so no matter what age we are today, God, we say, Father God, thank you again for the promises in your word that we have Jesus, your Son, as our Lord and Savior, and that your promise that you are coming back, Lord Jesus, to take us to be with you, Father. But until then, Father God, we have work cut out for us on this earth. We still are called to share your message with the lost and dying. And there are many, Father. We have family members, Lord, in our own families, God, that we know need to know Jesus, to know real satisfaction that only you can give. And so, Father, as we go this week, Lord, in this week between before the new year, Father, may it be a week of reflection, Lord, as we remember you, Father, and as we honor you, Father. Help us with the decisions that we will make, Lord, to serve you more effectively in the new year, Lord. Above all, we want to again thank you for Jesus, for the meaning of Christmas. Thank you again for the promises of your coming. Thank you again for your local body here at Three Point Bible, that we will love you and serve you with everything that you've given to us, Lord. And we ask all these things in the precious and glorious name of our soon coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.